week. Thank you to Ellen and Steve Nyman, sponsoring in honor of the bris of their grandson Yishai Yisrael Moshe last week. Happy to have you back in person, Baruch Hashem. Continue to have refuah shleima. And thank you to Toby Singer, who is commemorating the yahrzeit of her sister, Rivka Mina Bas Rabbi Mordechai HaKohen. Yes, I got that right? Okay. Neshavu Shavu and Aliyah. And we should continue to share good, happy occasions together. Okay, I hope you'll forgive me. I'd like to shift just for tonight to a blot a little bit ahead of where we are right now because it ties into Purim. Okay, not too far. Same volume, same book. Okay, we're going to go to Daf Mem Tes. Okay, please bear with me. Just figure this is our last. I'm not sure what's happening next week because we also have the learning program. The suggestion was made to have the shiur during the learning program. Okay, leading up to Maariv. Let's say approximately a quarter to 7 o'clock, whatever, till we got Maariv at 7:40. I guess maybe we'll take a vote. We'll see what's practical. But it just may be easier for people rather than coming in and out, breaking the fast and whatnot. But we'll play by ear. Okay. So, what's that? All right, so Memtes Amid Beis at the top. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the top. Okay. We're talking about benching proper. Okay. We're actually coming to the end of the Zimun Sugis, but we'll pick that up soon. But further on into the Perek, we're already very much engrossed in the benching itself. Okay? For those of you at home, again, 49b at the top, 7 lines from the top. The last word of the line is Amar, Amar of Idi Bar Avin, Mem Tesam Abay. So here the Gemara is talking about.
Howard Schwab says you might be muted.
The whole time I've been muted. Okay. Thank you. It's a good thing Howard doesn't sleep because he's in Eretz Yisrael right now. Okay, he gave away his secret. All right, sorry, everybody at home. We are up to 49B, Mem Tesam and Beis. Thank you. All right, so the Gemara here is talking about the addition of Ritzei and Yalv Yavo on the appropriate days, Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Yontif. And the Gemara is dealing with what happens when a person forgets, because the Sugya right before this was discussing the bracha that's added when a person forgets. Okay, it doesn't appear in every bencher. It's another mystery of the world, but there are, I think, an increasing number of benchers that do publish. We'll talk about more in depth when we're up to it, but there is a bracha that you say, if you finish, let's say, Abonei Barachma V'Yushalayim, Amen, and then you realize, I did not say Yalv Yavo, I did not say Ritzei. Before you begin the next bracha, you can recite a bracha right there, and that covers your obligation to mention the unique status of the day. But let's say a person finished the whole benching, it's too late to make any makeup. When do I have to start all over again and bench in that scenario? So the Gemara says as follows: Amar Avidi Bar Avin, Amar of Amram, Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Ta'a v'lo hizkir shor Rosh Chodesh betfila machzir noso. If a person makes a mistake and leaves out Rosh Chodesh, meaning he doesn't say Yalv Yavo when he's davening, okay, in Shemona Esrei, so then he has to go back and daven again. The Gemara does not go into it over here, but earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara tells us that is only true during the daytime, Shacharis. If you forget Yalv Yavo, then you have to repeat Shemona Esrei. If you forget Yalv Yavo at night of Rosh Chodesh, you do not need to repeat it because there's a principle, Ein Mekadshim Es HaChodesh Balayla. Beis Din would not convene to interview the witnesses who had come to testify about the new month at the nighttime because Beis Din is not open for business at night. They only operate during the day. So, incomplete discussion over here. What's that? Minchas like Shacharis. Okay, I think we discussed in the past we have a leniency. If you forget Yalv Yavo Shacharis, but you're planning to daven Musaf right away, then we'll let it go. Okay? Meaning, even though it is commonly accepted, this is what Mishnah Berurah says, you have to repeat Shemona Esrei. If you forget Yalv Yavo in Shacharis of Rosh Chodesh, I'm giving you a brisker cool over here. As long as you plan on davening Musaf right away, shortly thereafter, as we do, you do not need to repeat the Shemona Esrei. Okay? Hopefully, what's that? As it goes. Tell me what Masechta you want to learn. We'll come up with the coolest. Okay. Okay. So that's just something to keep in mind. We're going to focus on the second half of the statement. But if you forget Yalv Yavo, on Rosh Chodesh, in benching, it does not have to go back. We do not make him begin from the start of the benching. So what's the difference? Why do you tell me that fundamentally you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei if you forget Yal V'Yavo, but you don't have to when it comes to benching? Elsewhere in the Masechta, the Gemara tells us that the basis for being maskir, as we call it, me'ein ha-ma'ora. That's the phrase that the Chazal used. To be maskir me'ein ma'ora means to mention or to highlight the unique nature of the day. Ma'ora means an occasion. Okay, so if there's an obligation of me'ein ha-ma'ora in davening, in Shemoneh Esrei, there should be an obligation in benching. Also, why do we differentiate in terms of the obligation to repeat? That obligation is derived from the pasuk Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. The Gemara darshins. What does it mean to bless Hashem every single day? Kol Yom V'Yom Tein Lo Me'in Brachosav. Every single day, give brachos that are appropriate to the unique character of the day. So, why is there a differentiation between davening and benching? Amar Lei Afle Didi Kashali. I had the same kasha. B'Sha'al Tiel Rav Nachman, and I asked Rav Nachman the question. Amar Lei Minei Demar Shmuel Lo Shmieli. So he said, I didn't hear the answer to the question from Shmuel. Okay, so even though Shmuel was the one who originally told us this din, right? If you go back a few lines, it's Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel. So Nachman says, I never asked Shmuel the reason behind this chiluk. Ela nechsi anan, but nechsi means let's see. Let's analyze on our own what exactly is behind this distinction. Tzfila dechovehi machzir noso. Berchaz mezona, d'ibay achil, ibay lo achil, ein machzir noso. The difference is as follows. Tzfila dechovah. You have to daven. Okay, you have to daven shacharis, musaf, mincha, and as a result, because it's a chova, we have to define why this makes a difference. But because the davening is obligatory, it requires the Yal V'Yavo to be mentioned absolutely. And if you forget it, you got to repeat it. On the other hand, when it comes to benching, ibay achel, ibay lo achel. If I want to eat, great. If I don't want to eat, also great. It's up to me if I want to eat on Rosh Chodesh or not. So ein machzir noso. We do not make him repeat the benching. Okay, so we now have step one, understanding why davening is different than benching. Davening is obligatory, benching is optional in the sense that if you didn't wash, you didn't have to bench. Okay. Elamiata, based on what you just told me, Shabbosav Yom Tovim, Shabbos and Yom Tiv, Delo Sagi, Delo Achil, those are days where, first glance,
obligated.
What's that?
You're obligated,
right? You don't have an option of saying, I don't want to eat today. Now, parenthetically, there is at least one example, maybe two, where a person would fast on Shabbos or Yantif. Let's go to the extreme. The Gemara says that a tainis chalom, a person has a very, very disturbing dream, even if they have it on a Friday night, they're supposed to fast on the following day, on Shabbos morning. Again, that's unusual, but the Gemara says that there's something very auspicious about fasting immediately after you have the dream, that if you'd wait till Sunday, you'd miss the opportunity. We're not so in the habit of fasting nowadays. We're not so in the habit of taking dreams so seriously. There's a whole perek at the end of the Masechta about what it means if you see an elephant in your dream, what it means if you see olive oil in your dream, and a very, very sophisticated system of interpretation. But nowadays we assume that whatever you're dreaming probably has something to do about what you were with what you're thinking about that day. So we give less credence to it. But there are some people now who give more focus to the dreams, and they would fast. And the Gemara says you fast the day after, even if it's Shabbos. That's one example. The Gemara also says that if a person gets oneg from not eating, from refraining from eating. Okay, again, this is not your average person. Okay, I don't know. When I told people when I was younger I didn't like cholent, they asked me if I was Jewish. You know, so who doesn't like to eat on Shabbos? Okay, very, very holy people. Very holy people who refrain from eating. Gemara says that Rabbi Tzadok fasted for 40 years. Okay, so for him to eat on Shabbos, Gemara says that he needed a special doctor after it was all over to be able to, Rachman Aslan, like after the Holocaust, the people were so emaciated in the camps that some of them, the Americans came, liberated the camps, they gave them food right away and they died because their bodies couldn't handle it. So if a person doesn't find it oneg to eat on Shabbos, so then he's exempt. But fundamentally, a person doesn't have a choice. Shabbos v'yam tovim, lo sagi, lo achil. Under normal circumstances, they must eat. Shabbos and Yom Tov. Hachanami, the same should be true. Di'itoi, hadar, that if he makes a mistake, he leaves out Ritzei or Yal V'Yavo respectively. He has to go back and repeat the benching. I'm late in. That's exactly the point, right? Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to eat, so we said. I'm sorry, Rosh Chodesh, right? You don't have to eat, so you don't have to repeat the benching. Shabbos and Yom Tov, where you do have to eat, you repeat the benching. Into Amar Rav Shila, Amar Rav, Ta Chozer L'Rosh. Rav said that if you make a mistake and you leave out the mention of the day, you go back to the beginning. Okay, now we finished the topic. We're just throwing in a side point. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Why are you telling me that if I forget Ritzei, I have to go back to the beginning of benching? Didn't you also tell me that, according to the same person, Rav, if I forget to say Seri Al Yavo, Omer Baruch Shanasan. Baruch Shanasan is the, it's not from the Haggadah, okay? Sounds like the, you know, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch HaShanasan, right? No, this is the text of the Baruch we mentioned before. If you forget Ritzei, so you say, Baruch Atosha Mokinim HaLacholam HaShanasan, Shabbosos, LeMenucha, LeYisrael, LeOsu LeBris, Baruch Atosha Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos. Okay, you got to know it by heart, because if it's not in your venture, I don't know about you, I forget Ritzei all the time. So you have to, I forget Yalviyo all the time. You have to know how to say it, to insert. So the Gemara says, I understand. Why do you tell me I have to go back to the beginning of my benching if the previous Amud you say that there is a way to make up for it? So Gemara says, not a kasha, lav idmar Allah, didn't we learn about this? Lo shana lo shalo pasach v'tov ametiv. That whole discussion about the extra bracha you add to your benching, when you forget what it says, is when you haven't begun the next bracha. Once you start hatov ametiv, once you go on to the final bracha of benching, then it's too late to make up for it. It's only at that point that we're saying this new sugya that you have to repeat your Shemona Esrei. You have to repeat the benching. Okay? Parenthetically, the Rishonim ask, why should it be that I have to repeat the benching just because I started a Tova Meitiv? What's halacha if I daven Shemona Esrei and I forget Yalav Yavo? So at whatever point I remember that I need to add in Yalav Yavo, so then I stop and I go back to Ritzei. And then I insert it there, right? So if that's the case, right, if we ask ourselves, what is the formal conclusion of Shemona Esrei? What's the formal conclusion of Shemona Esrei? The real answer? Baruch Shalom Yisrael B'Shalom. That's it, right? Technically speaking, if a person never said Elokai Netzor, he'll still go right to Gan Eden. Okay, the Elokai Netzor is a wonderful opportunity to add personal supplications. It's somewhat mysterious how Elokai Netzor came to be, because if you look in the second parak, I think Daf Yud Zayin, Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara has a whole list of personal supplications that the Amoraim would add to the end of their davening about whatever it is that they want to ask for. And a lot of Elokai Netzor comes from that Gemara. So why we specifically chose that Amora and what he liked to say and put it into everybody's sitter, I don't know the answer to that question. I'm sure Abe Katz is a good answer to that question. I don't know the answer. But formally speaking, that's not part of Shemona Esrei. I have davened next to Rav Shechter before, and because I pay attention to these things, maybe I shouldn't, but I pay attention to these things, and he skipped Elokai Netzor. If he felt that the Tzibur was waiting for him, and he was already taking a long time, he skipped Elokai Netzor, because it's not obligatory, and when there's other considerations, then that comes first. That comes first. You know, finish the Shemona Esrei. That's what you need to do. Parenthetically, he's also said, maybe I mentioned this in the past, he heard this from Rabbi Yerucham Gorelick, who was one of the Rosh Shivas in YU, and learned by some of the greats in Mir and Brisk. And he was also Tom. He had a shul in the Bronx. Yeah. He learned around by the Chofetz Chaim. So he said the Chofetz Chaim. Zer Moshe. Yeah. Oh, okay. So his children, Rav Alter Gorelick and Rav Chaim Ozer Gorelick, they're the heads of the yeshiva in South Fallsburg, upstate. That's Zer Moshe, right? Okay. So he witnessed the Chofetz Chaim himself. When they were waiting for the Chofetz Chaim to finish Shemona Esrei before they begun the Chazaras Hashatz. Sometimes the Chofetz Chaim wasn't actually finished, but he would fake out the Chazan, take a few steps back, so that the Chazan would get the message that it was time for him to start Chazaras Hashatz. And then, I think, the Chofetz Chaim used to then take three steps forward and continue where he left off with Shemona Esrei. So, and it's hinted at in the Mishnah Berurah also that he said that the rabbi has a sort of a conflict that he has to balance. On the one hand, he has to sort of set the pace for the shul. Okay, if the shul takes 2 minutes to daven Shemona Esrei, he's got to slow him down a little bit. There's a difference between tircha the shibur, not holding them up, and also setting a bad pace for how long Shemona Esrei should take. But he says at some point you have to be reasonable, and if people are schmoozing, people are making a lot of noise, and they're not getting the message. So then it's appropriate for the rabbi to indicate that it's okay for the chazan to begin. Okay.
Rabbi Feiner on Sunday said people complain you should daven as fast as he speaks, and you should speak as slow as he daven.
Very good, Rabbi. Good. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik actually used to daven very quickly, and someone asked him, doesn't it say in Chazal that you're supposed to say the words of Shemona Esrei at the same speed that you count your money? So he said, I count my money fast also. You know, so Rabbi Feiner has a terrence, I guess, yeah. Yes, yeah.
So is that true also by Shal Shudis? Because it's not so clear that...
Okay, well, Good point. We're going to get to that. That's our sugya for today. When do we have to repeat, when we don't have to repeat. Okay?
And part two is, what about, it's weird with Al-Hanisan, because Purim, you have to have a meal, but Hanukkah, you don't.
That's why we're talking about it today. Okay? That's why I skipped to this spot. We're going to talk about Purim, hopefully, between now and 9:45. Okay?
I was in Washington Heights, and I observed Rabbi Goldfuss, most of the people took longer than he did, and I happened to ask him. He said, I can't concentrate well if I dive
too long, too slow, yeah. Yeah, I think there were two Hasidic Rebbes. I forget who's on which side of the story, but they had an argument about this. One used to daven very quickly, the other used to daven very slow. So he said, I'll give you a mashal. If I have a pen with sheep inside and I see the wolf is going to attack, so I have to shut the door very quickly. So he said, similarly, you know, I only have a few minutes to daven, and if I take too long, you know, the Yetzer Hara is going to put all things in my head to distract me. So I think the other Rebbe said, you know, I need to leave the door open so I can shoo out the wolf. So he said, I make sure to shut the door really fast, and then it doesn't get... Okay, that's the idea. Different people, you know, whatever works best for you. Yeah, I'm sorry, you had a question? Okay.
Oh, those are my questions.
That's great. Okay, fine. So hopefully we'll get back to that topic soon. One more point. Oh, yeah, so we didn't get to the punchline. So the question is, if, strictly speaking, the end of Shemona Esrei is after Mevarech Chamo Yisrael B'Shalom, if I remember in the middle of El Kain Tzur that... I have not yet said Yalav Yavo, I'm allowed to go back to Ritzei. Why shouldn't we find a parallel over here in the benching? I finished Bona Yishlayim, but it's still benching, right? I told them it's still benching. It's an extension. It's not the formal three brachos, Doraisa. It was added later, fine. But it should be no less a part of the same unit as El Kain Tzur. So I think... I'm not sure exactly who said this, but it follows the line of thinking of Reb Chaim Soloveitcher. Reb Chaim, the very first piece in his Sefer on the Rambam, says something very interesting. He says the two places in the Rambam. One place the Rambam says, you need Kavana, but if you don't have Kavana, if you don't have Kavana, you don't have to repeat Shemona Esrei, except for the first bracha. First bracha, you absolutely need to have Kavana. And then another place he says, it doesn't matter what we're talking about. The whole Shemona Esrei, you have to have Kavana, or else you have to start all over again. So which one is which? You know, how do you reconcile the two? So Chaim says there's a difference. When it comes to the Pirush HaMilim, the translation of the words, the first bracha is the one that is critical. Person, as they're saying, the first bracha Shemona Esrei, at the very least, the first bracha, you should be doing your best to think about what the words mean as you say them. Okay? That is indispensable. If you don't have the Kavana for the Milim, the first bracha, you have to start all over again. What's the other Rambam where he says you have to have a Kavana for the entire Shemona Esrei? He says that's a different Kavana. That's not a Kavana about the words. That's a Kavana of Omid Lifnei Hashem. He said it's so fundamental to getting up to daven every single time that if you don't have some cognizance of what you're doing, of where you are, Dalif Neyam Yata Omeid, then you have to start all over again. It's a worthless Shemona Esrei, so to speak. So if we understand that the core, the essence of davening is Omid Lifnei Hashem, so the Chiddush of El Kain Tzur and the continuation after Mevarech Chamo Yisrael B'Shalom is I'm still Omid Lifnei Hashem. Hashem says, you know, before, you know, the meeting's over, you stand up, you know, when you have a meeting, like before you walk out the door, you stand up, you schmooze a little, you know, you shake hands, you know, there's always a little more schmoozing before you actually leave the room. That's what El Kain Tzur is. I'm still Omid Lifnei HaMelech, but I'm getting my final word and pleasantries before I leave. Unlike benching doesn't have that fundamental essence to it. It's very important to bench, and yes, you're thanking Hashem, but it doesn't have that overarching, we'll say, ambiance of Omid Lifnei Hashem. So it's not that you have benching plus and Shemona Esrei plus. It's that all of Shemona Esrei, for as long as I choose to daven, is that same experience of Omid Lifnei Hashem, and that's what keeps it as one long continuum, that whenever I remember Yalav Yavo, I can go back to Ritzei. Benching, very important, I'm talking Hashem, but once I get to that point where I finish the core essence, the three brachos d'oraisa, Atova Meitiv is really a separate entity, and it's too late to correct it, and I have to repeat it all over again, as our Gemara says on Shabbos and Yontif. Okay, good? Fine. Let's go to the Tosos. Very important Tosos. Extremely practical and Lamdisha Tosos at the same time. Ibai Achel, Ibai Lo Achel. Vim Tomar. V'ahave Rosh Chodesh miyomei delo lesanis bahon. B'megilas tainis. The day of Rosh Chodesh is a day when you're not allowed to fast. Okay? It's listed in Megillas Tainis. This is in the Gemara in Tainis. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah talks about it. You can't fast on Rosh Chodesh. Some say Doraisa you can't fast. Some say Doraisa you can't fast. That's why usually... Those of you familiar with that Gemara, when it comes to the days that are listed on the Megillas Tainis, okay, you're not allowed to fast the day before or the day afterwards, right? You know, those are days where we have to reinforce the importance of that day, so you can't fast the day before or afterwards. You are allowed to fast the day before Rosh Chodesh, And what's a raya? Yom Kippur Katan. People fast all the time, Erev Rosh Chodesh. So, what's that? Oh, okay, okay. Okay, hold on. Okay, I'm still on the question. I don't know what Tosa's answer is. I just know the question, okay? So the over there, the Gemara says that Rosh Chodesh may even be a doraisa that you can't fast, and there was no need to reinforce the importance of the day by prohibiting the day before and afterwards because Rosh Chodesh itself has a status to it. So what does it mean in the Gemara that, if you want, you don't have to fast on Rosh Chodesh? So as you said, Yeshlomer Dachi Perusho, Iboy Achel, Iboy Lochel, Pas. The key is that you have the option of eating or not eating bread. Sheikhaivanu bivakhazamazan. Sheikhaivanu bivakhazamazan. That would be machayu. That would obligate you to bench. Okay, unlike Avobi Yantif, Tsarach Lechol Pas. On Yantif, you do have to eat bread. So that's really what the Gemara is differentiating. Rosh Chodesh is a day you don't have to wash and eat bread. Yantif is a day you do. I don't know why he skips Shabbos and says just Yantif. Because the Gemara has both, I'm not sure why. But Rosh Chodesh and Yantif, the difference is Rosh Chodesh, you have to eat, can't fast, but if you have a yogurt, you have a pretzel, that's okay too. When it comes to Yantif, you must wash. You must wash and have bread. In other words, what we can say over here, let's fully understand what the Gemara is saying, even though the Gemara says these are days you have to eat, really what the Gemara means to say is it's a code word. These are days you have to bench. Okay, when the Gemara says Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to eat. Yantif, you do have to eat. What it really means is Rosh Chodesh, you need to bench. And Yantif, Rosh Chodesh, you don't need to bench. Yantif, you do need to bench. And because there is a mandate to bench, figure out, wash at some point so that you bench, that's essentially saying you are also mandated to mention the specific status of the day, that it's Yantif. Because if you are forced to bench, you are forced to mention Yalav Yavo, or say on Shabbos, in the benching. Okay, so again, even though the Gemara says these are days you have to eat, really what it means is these are days you have to bench, and every time you bench, you mention Yalav Yavo. If I forget it, then I have not lived up to, not the expectation to eat or not eat, I haven't lived up to the expectation to perform a Birchas HaMazon that has a Yalav Yavo in it. Okay, everyone got that? That's really what we're talking about. These are days you must bench, and benching means that you're going to mention the special nature of the day. Okay? Vitema. Now we have a question. Damrinan besuka ibaya achel ibay lo achel chutz milayla rishona diyalev tesvav tesvav michaga matzos. So the Gemara over there has a machlokas tanan. Just to give a little background, sukkah daf of zayin. The Gemara has a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan. How often does a person need to eat in the sukkah on yantav of sukkahs? Initially, Rabbi Elazar says you have to have 14 meals. Okay. 7 days times two, one in the night, one during the daytime, total of 14. And the Chacham say ein ledavar kitzva. There's no set amount. Okay, what does it mean? There's no set amount. It means that it could be 14, it could be 10, it could be 3, it could be 27. It doesn't make a difference. But everyone agrees that the first night of Sukkot, you absolutely must eat in the Sukkot. Okay. Ultimately, the Gemara says that even Rabbi Elazar agreed fundamentally that there's no magic number 14. But everyone agrees that the first night you have to eat in the sukkah. What's the reason for that? The reason for that is because there's a gezeirah shava. Just like the Torah says that Pesach is on the 15th of Nisan, Sukkot is on the 15th of Tishrei. So that gezeirah shava, linking the two holidays, just like everyone has to wash, everyone has to eat on the first night of Pesach because you have a Seder, right? Can't skip the Seder. So if you must eat on the night of Pesach, likewise you must eat on the night of Sukkot. Where do you eat when it's Sukkot? You eat in the sukkah. Okay, so from there we derive that you must eat in the sukkah on the first night. The rest of the week, again, just going with the pashup shot in the Gemara, it seems like you don't need to eat at all.
You have to wash.
It doesn't even say you have to wash. It says after the first night.
You're saying say
the first night, you mean? Yeah. Yes, for sure you need to wash the first night. For sure, because just like you have to wash your matzah. That's the nature of that link between Pesach and Sukkot. So Tosa says, I don't understand. Our Gemara says when it comes to Yantif, you have to eat. Or it says, you have to eat. That's the difference. That's why I have to repeat my if I forget Yalav Yavo. So how could Nakamar and Sukkah tell us that, no, the only requirement to eat is the first night of Sukkah. After that, it's up to you. What do you mean it's up to you? It says over here, you have to eat. Seemingly every day of Sukkot, right? That's a question. So there's two main answers to this question. One our Tosa says, the other is the Tosa's over there in Sukkah. I'm going to throw that one out quickly, okay? What Tosin Sukkah says is, you're right, it's a modification. The Gemara in Sukkah is supposed to modify our Gemara. When our Gemara says you must eat, it means on the first night of Pesach, the first night of Sukkah, and that's it. Okay? In other words, the question is, the Gemara's contradict each other? They don't contradict each other. What the Gemara says in Sukkah is the full elaboration that the requirement to eat is limited to the first night, and that's it. Okay? It's a surprise. Sounds a little bit of a surprise to us, but that's what Tosos in Sukkah holds. We're going to have a different answer over here. What's that?
What do you do with Mitzrayim?
We'll get to that. Okay? Stay tuned about 30 seconds or so. Yesh lomar haki pirusho. This is the proper way to understand that Gemara. Haki pirusho she'en utzarech lechol b'sukkah im lo yirtze. After the first night, you don't have to eat in the sukkah if you don't want to. Avo b'shvil yantiv tzarech lechol. But as far as the obligation of yantiv is concerned, you do need to eat. In other words, there are two, we'll say, concurrent obligations. One is the obligation to eat in a sukkah. One is the obligation to eat a meal. Our Gemara is talking about the meal of yantiv. Yantiv requires you to eat a meal. That Gemara is talking about the requirement to eat in the sukkah. And it's true, they're usually going to overlap, but you could bifurcate between the two. Our Gemara says you have to eat a meal because it's yantiv. That Gemara says you don't have to eat a meal in the sukkah. The obvious question, though, says, Miu, Om Rabbi Yehuda, I'm sorry, Avim Tomar, Mainav Kamina in Sarach Lecho B'Shvil Yantiv O B'Shvil Sukkah. What difference does it make if our Gemara says I need to eat because it's yantiv? That Gemara says I don't have to eat in the sukkah. At the end of the day, if I have to eat because it's yantiv, where am I going to eat? I'm going to eat in the sukkah. Okay? Again, once you establish that our Gemara says you need to eat on yantiv. And that Gemara, oh yeah, it's just talking about the obligation of sukkah, which is only the first night. Okay, but Mamanav Shach, once I need to eat my yantiv suda, where is it going to be? It's going to be in the sukkah. Answers Tosus, Miu Omer Aben Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda over here is Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. The nafka mina kegon sheyardu geshamim v'achul chutz v'sukkah. If it is raining, let's say on the third day of sukkah it's raining, and you go inside your dining room and you eat there, out of the sukkah, hashta, im mechavad yantiv, shapir. If you have an obligation to eat because it's yantiv, so then you have to mention yalviyavo, that's what you did, you forgot it, you have to repeat it because you have an obligation to eat. Avol mishvil sukkah, b'yantiv rishon tzarech lachzor, b'lechol b'sukkah, la'achar sheyiv zgua geshamim. But if it's, as far as sukkahs is concerned, if it's the first night, then you eat inside, great, that doesn't help you. That helps you for the yantiv obligation. Helps you for the yantiv obligation. But when the rain stops, you're going to have to go out to the sukkah. Why? D'yalfinan tesvav b'chag ha-matzos. Because if it rains on Pesach, you still have to have a seder. You still have to eat matzah, even if it's raining, right? It's an absolute. You have to eat on the 15th. So you have to eat on the 15th of Tishrei as well. Even if you satisfied your yomtiv obligation in your dining room, you still have to satisfy your sukkah obligation in the sukkah. Avol b'shar yomim eino tzarech. Other days of sukkahs besides the first night, you don't need to eat in the sukkah if it's raining. Okay, so just a quick review, and then things are going to get a little more interesting. Okay, so Tosa says you have a stira between our Gemara. Our Gemara says you have to eat every day of Yantiv. That Gemara says you only have to eat the first night. Answers Tosos, you have to eat because it's Yantiv. You don't always have to eat because it's Sukkot. Meaning, if it's raining, so that there's an exemption from the Sukkah, but you still have to eat at home. Okay? Because it's Yantiv. Which, by the way, the implication from this Gemara, we talk about Sukkot. The question is Yantiv the same thing as Chol HaMoed? Okay? Do you need to wash every day a Chol HaMoed? Okay? You can't necessarily derive that from our sugya because our sugya, when it says yantiv, means yantiv. Okay? But halachol maisa we paskin that you don't need to repeat benching if you forget yalviv on Chol HaMoed. Okay? Which would go hand in hand with a lack of obligation to have pas. Okay? But we'll say that for another time maybe. So now, what's interesting over here is that Tosfos was careful to say that how do you bifurcate between sukkahs and yantiv? Meaning, when it's raining on the first night, after it stops raining, then you have to go out to the sukkah, and then you get points for both mitzvahs. Tosfos could have said something else. Tosfos could have said something else, and as a matter of fact, some Rishonim, like the Ritva, do say, same answer with a twist. If it's raining on the first night of sukkahs, you need to go out and eat in the rain. Tosfos doesn't say that by us. Tosfos says, wait till after it stops, and then you'll go out and get your kiyum number two. But the Ritva says explicitly that you can fulfill, at least on the first night, that second mitzvah of sukkah even when it's raining. And it sounds like you are supposed to, right? Obviously, we all know that when it's raining on the first night of sukkah, so you have to wait and you have to see, and then you go out, you don't make a bracha. So what's that all about? It really comes from this Tosfos. The question is as follows. Again, what are we trying to analyze? Why would you say either option A, first night of sukkahs, because of the limud from matzah, you have to wait until it stops raining and then go out and eat it? Or say, no, while it's still raining, go out in the sukkah and eat the bread, even though it is still raining. So the question comes down to the following. The Achronim explain as follows. When we have a gzeir shav, a tesvav that connects Pesach to Sukkot, what is the essential, we'll say, crossover from one to the next? Possibility number one is, on the night of Pesach, I have a mitzvah to eat a kazayis of matzah, of bread. Just like I have a kazayis of matzah on Pesach, so too, you should perform the corresponding mitzvah that's unique to the night of Sukkot, which is eating in the sukkah. Possibility number one. Possibility number two is no. Just like there's an obligation to eat dough that has been baked from the five grains into the form of matzah, parenthetically, on the first night of Pesach, so too you must eat in your sukkah a kazayis of bread no matter what on the first night of Pesach. What's the difference? Is the gzeir shava teaching me that on the first night of sukkah there's a din achila, or is it teaching me there's a din of yeshiva sukkah? Are we learning that just like I have to eat matzah, I need to eat matzah, I need to eat in the sukkah, bread? Or am I learning just like there's a mitzvah of Pesach, there's a mitzvah of sukkah? What's the nafka mina? If I have to eat in the rain, in the sukkah. If the pshat is we're teaching you it's a chiyuv to eat bread. It's a chiyuv to eat bread. So therefore, it doesn't matter if it's raining. You need to eat bread, period. But if all we've learned over was a din of yeshiva sukkah, so then mitzvah yeshiva sukkah, if it's raining, doesn't apply. Right? Why would I have to either eat the kazayis of bread in the sukkah or not if it's raining? The answer is, what is the essential mitzvah I'm doing right now? What essentially did I learn from Pesach? If I learned, eat bread no matter what, rain or shine, then I got to do it. Doesn't make a difference. Because essentially, think about it like this, okay? On Sukkot, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah outside, okay? Without the Seder. That's one way of again, I don't mean that literally. There are those who take it literally. I was once at a meal, first night of Sukkot, and the rabbi presiding over the meal served unleavened rolls. Okay? I'm not joking. Okay? The prima gottim. There's some poskim, again, depending on how seriously you take this connection between the 15th of Pesach and the 15th over here in Tishrei, does that mean I have to eat lechem oni on the first night of Pesach? Okay? And first night of Sukkot. First night of Sukkot. I think the Kibbutz Chaim didn't add honey to his bread on the first night of Sukkot for that reason, lechem oni. Okay? So again, that's not the normative standard chumrah, but what I'm trying to illustrate is, what this comes down to is, what exactly are we drawing upon from Pesach to Sukkot? If it's a din of, just like Pesach, you do the Pesach mitzvahs, Sukkot, you do the Sukkah mitzvah, so then when it's raining, the Sukkah mitzvah doesn't apply. And I wait until after it stops raining to go out in the Sukkah and eat. But if you hold, no, the Gzer Shava teaches you the din achila of matzah is also supposed to be superimposed on Sukkot, a din achila, then I have to eat it, rain or shine. Does it make a difference? Okay, so what we do practically is we wait and we hope that it stops raining so that I can go out and fulfill what Tosfos and Brachos says. But if it doesn't, so Tosfos and Brachos might be out of the way, but the other half of the Rishonim say, too bad, go out and eat in the rain, but we don't make a bracha because it's Suffolk Brachos Lahakal. According to Tosfos and Brachos, you're not doing any mitzvah right now. Okay, Adrava, don't eat in the rain because the Gemara says, Rama passing this, call a potter min adavar, right? Nicker hedget, right? If you eat in the sukkah and it's raining, you're foolish. There are many Hasidim who understand that Gemara differently. Hedget is a good thing, or it's only if you are bothered by the rain, then for you shouldn't stay in the sukkah as mitzvah. But the Rebbe loves the mitzvah no matter what, rain or shines. Of course he's going to eat out in the rain because it doesn't bother him. I'm doing the mitzvah. Okay. You met them. Okay. I know what it says in the Gemara. That's how I was taught. So a wet shrimal. That's it. Okay. Okay. So that is a very fundamental question. Can I throw out a little more lundus? A little more lundus. Okay. This nafka mina of whether or not the first night of Sukkot is a mitzvah zachila or a mitzvah yeshiva has some interesting nafka minas. Just give one. Okay, for now. This comes from Reb Baruch Ber, the great Talmud of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik had many very significant students in Volozhin and Brisk. Reb Baruch Ber was the Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenetz. He had other Talmidim, like Reb Shimon Shkap, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Grodno, was Rosh Yeshiva of YU for a year also. They say the difference between the different students was, if Reb Chaim said, for example, a table is a cow, So Reb Shimon would spend all night thinking what he mean. You know, it has four legs, and the cow has four legs. You know, they come up with a way to understand what Reb Chaim. If you told Reb Baruch Bar, Reb Chaim said, the table's a cow, he'd start milking the table. Okay? He was very, you know, it was, whatever Reb Chaim said was Torah Misinai. Okay? That's how I was brought up also. Okay? I can't say I milked the table, but so Reb Baruch Bar said, when we talk about Mitzvah Bavavera, okay? So Mitzvah Bavavera, at least according to this understanding, doesn't mean anytime there's, you know, somewhere in the orbit of a mitzvah, an avera took place, right? There's got to be some very direct connection, right? If I did an avera on day one and I did the mitzvah 5 days later, that doesn't automatically make it a mitzvah bav avera, okay? If I have, I think of a good example, you know, if there needs to be a more direct link, okay? And what that link would be, for example, Chaim illustrated as follows. The Gemara says that if a person tore Kriya, they lost a relative, God forbid, and they tore Kriya on Shabbos. So what does Gemara say? Gemara says that you're Yotze Kriya, okay, even though you might have said that's a mitzvah b'avera, right? So why is that Yotze the mitzvah, but matzah gzula, if I steal matzah and I eat it, it's no good. So the answer is that matzah gzula is a chefta shel avera. The item itself is labeled because of the fact that it was stolen as an item that is an Aveira item. So you can't use an Aveira item for a mitzvah item, you know, and have them both, you know, conflicting. The Kriya, right, when a person tears Kriya, what is on Shabbos? What is the Aveira? The Aveira is the Malacha, right? There's nothing fundamentally wrong with his clothing, right? It's that you did an action, which is the Malacha. Okay? So it's not that the Cheftza Shal Aveira is clashing with your mitzvah. Here's the difference between that and matzah. Yeah. What? Yeah?
What if your Dairy Kriya was stolen garbage?
Okay. That's something to talk about. Maybe that's something to talk about. Okay? But we're talking about Shabbos. The whole point over here is Shabbos. Okay? So too, let's say it was Sukkos. And I eat stolen bread in my sukkah. Was I Yotze the mitzvah or not? Stolen bread in my sukkah. So if the pshat is that fundamentally, what did I learn from Pesach? I learned there's a din achil over there, matzah over here, matzah over there. So my achila, the bread that I eat, is the chatzah shel mitzvah. Can't be a chatzah shel avera as well, because it's stolen. But if fundamentally what I'm doing in the sukkah on the first night is a mitzvah, yeshiva sukkah, just happens to be what's the medium by which I accomplish the yeshiva sukkah is with bread. So you can't call that a chefetz shel mitzvah. It's just sort of the heichatimtzis, the way you get to it. But the mitzvah is really the yeshiva sukkah. So that would not be mitzvah bav avera based on that longness. Yeah.
Eating in a stolen sukkah.
So that there's a whole sugya about that in the second parak of sukkah. Karkan exelas, karkan in exelas. You know, do you need to own a sukkah?
The mitzvah of sukkah is the sukkah.
Do you need to own the sukkah?
The mitzvah is ruined because you stole the matzah.
I'm going to just tell you, Mr. Shem, when we get the sukkah, there's a whole sukkah on Machlokes Tanayim, not for now, okay? There's a whole sukkah about that. What if you come in someone the sukkah with a gun, you kick him out? I'm going to plead the fifth right now, okay? I'm going to plead the fifth. Okay, let's go back into Tosos. Okay, we're almost there. But, I mean, if you steal wine to eat at the Purim Suda, okay? Or you steal steal food for the Purim Suda. Steal dalakosos. Okay, so that would be a problem. Let's get back to the Purim story that we started. We've got 10 minutes left. Here we go. Tosa says, there's so much here. V'hod amrin perak eil dvarim. There's a Gemara in Pesachim. Marbrei d'Ravina hava yaseh b'tanisa kula shata. Marbrei d'Ravina would fast the whole year long. Mash m'shayim masana b'yamtif. The simple understanding of that Gemara. Gemara over there is talking about when you're not allowed to fast. And it says that in general he would fast. Okay, the Gemara says that atzeres t'yelachem. Yamtif is atzeres t'yelachem. So you stop everything. Okay, and you observe this day of Yamtif. The Gemara says you have a choice. Either chatzilachem, chatzilachem, split the day in half, or kula l'Hashem, or you learn and daven all day. Okay, but the Gemara says, when it comes to Shavuos, everyone agrees, it has to be chatzil lechem, you have to have a meal, you have to celebrate Kabbalah Satorah. And here we have Marbrei d'Ravina, who would fast the whole year. So, again, based on that background, let's say, with the exception of Shavuos, okay, that is tenable. But that sounds like you're fasting even on Yom Tov, and again, that's against our Gemara. So the Gemara, so Tosas answers, Mefarsh Reed the Betinus Chalom Kamar. Okay, like we said before, he was one of the exceptional situations where you are allowed to fast on a Yom Tov like a Tainus Chalom, Avu Bishar Tanios Aser. Other fast days are not okay. Are not okay on Yom Tov. Okay, meaning it's an ironclad rule based on what we said. Every day of Yom Tov you have to have a meal. Uksuda Shlisha Shal Shabbos. Let's get back to Shal Shurdis, and that'll bring us back to Purim eventually. What about Shal Shurdis? Hayim Asupik Ri. The Ri wasn't sure. Shami Iboy Lo Achil. El mini targima kedepirish Rabbeinu Tam kedamrin b'suda sukkah. Rabbeinu Tam was of the opinion, based on the Gemara and Sukkah that we saw before, that when it comes to shalosh shudas, you do not need to wash. Okay, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, there's multiple opinions about this question. Ideally, Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to wash for shalosh shudas. Interesting. I can't say I'm I need to do a computer check, and I don't know it all by heart. But the only time in Shulchan Aruch I'm aware of where it says chacham ina barosho, that you have to have eyes in your head, you have to think ahead and consider the future, is in the halachas of Shal Shurdis. It says make sure you don't eat too much at your meal in the morning on Shabbos, so that you're not stuffed and you can't have Shal Shurdis. Okay, if a person it's give me achil gasa, then you can't have Shal Shurdis. But ideally, you're supposed to try to wash three meals a day, men and women, for Shal Shurdis. Okay, so but there is an opinion. There's an opinion that less than washing is yotze the mitzvah. There's an opinion that says mizonos counts. Opinion even that says that fruit counts. But if we can accept that, so what does that mean? It means that strictly speaking, one, when it comes to Shal Shurdis, doesn't have to eat, which we said is a code word for saying you don't need to bench. Meaning, even though you have to eat on Shabbos. And as we said, that means you have to bench on Shabbos. You really don't have to bench twice. You don't have to bench a third time. So he says, based on that, at least if we take into consideration the opinions who say you don't have to wash for Shal Shurdis, it would emerge that my obligation to bench is twice on Shabbos. And if I forgot Ritzeh at Shal Shurdis, I would not need to repeat the benching. Because that benching, that meal, is not absolute. It could be left out. Okay? And that is how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, but just as a follow-up, skip down to the end of Tosos. Umihu, three lines before the end. Umihu im achal suda revias v'shachach shel Shabbos lo hadar. If a person ate a fourth meal on Shabbos and he forgot ritzei, then for sure he doesn't need to go back. Lo hadar l'resha. Devada ibay lo achal hach suda revias klal. Because everyone agrees, no matter where you stand on the Shal Shurdis, everyone agrees that a fourth meal is not obligatory, so the benching can't be obligatory, and the ritzei can't be obligatory either. Okay? So that's a practical halacha. If a person forgets ritzei,
it's optional. If you are benching, you should say it.
You should definitely say it, yeah. That's lechatchila. Now, there is an opinion that disagrees. Okay? We're not going to get into it right now. The Ra'ah holds that if you have a fourth meal on Shabbos, you do have to say ritzei. Why? Because essentially, he says that the notion of mentioning the unique character of the day is more connected to the day than it is to the meals. Okay, meaning there's an underlying lumdus over here, which, again, it emerges from the Gemara. The Gemara says, oh, if I don't have to eat, I have to bench, I don't have to say what to say. But you could also say, in yeshivas we have an expression. Is a determining factor the Gemara lists, is it a simen or a siba? Is it a simen or a siba? Meaning, the way we've been learning up until now, so the fact that you have to eat on that day is a siba. The fact you need to eat means you have to bench. You're expected to bench, and therefore you must absolutely mention ritzeh. That siba doesn't exist on the fourth meal. Right? If it's a reason, then when the reason doesn't apply, the halacha doesn't apply. There's no reason to eat a fourth meal. There's no reason to bench. And if you forget, you'll be able to repeat it. But maybe ibaya achal, ibaya achal is not a siba. It's a simen. It's a simen. Meaning, the fact that there's an obligation to eat on these days says something about the nature of Shabbos and Yom Tov, that these are days where the special character of the day needs to be mentioned. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, it's not tied to the meal per se. It's the meal actually is an expression of the way that Shabbos is special, the way Yom Tov is special. And Mamela, as many times as I eat over the course of the day, that obligation is still extant. Okay, I got 4 minutes left, so we'll have to say more when we get back to this. But the question should emerge from this sugya, what is the status of Purim? Do you have to say Al Nisim? You do have to say Al Nisim. You have to repeat your benching if you did not say Al Nisim. Okay, so before we get to the under the hood, halach l'maisa, if you forget Al Nisim in benching on Purim, you do not need to repeat your benching. Okay? That is accepted halacha, maybe because of Suffolk Bracha Lahakel, but just, I just want to make it clear in case anyone has to run out, you have the answer to the question. But what it really should hinge upon, and it does, is there an obligation to eat meat, I'm sorry, to eat bread at the Purim Suda? Now you could tell me, maybe there isn't. I know I have to drink wine, okay? Maybe a chashuv suda, have some meat, but where does it say that I need to eat bread? That is the question. And the Maharshal is of the opinion that you do need to eat bread, okay? Because, he says, ein simcha v'lo pas. There's no obligation to eat. There's no such thing as a suda that's a fulfillment of simcha without pas. Okay? So now that's actually a stunning landmark comment. Okay, why? Because why do we have to wash on Shabbos? Why do we have to wash on Shabbos? Zech Laman. Okay, but what do we call that? What's the mitzvah that we call that you're fulfilling? Covered in oneg. Okay, oneg Shabbos is to what? Oneg Shabbos entails that you wash. Okay? What about on Yontif? Is there an obligation of kavod and oneg on Yontif? Simcha. Right? So if you adopt the position that there's no such thing as simcha without bread, so that could explain what's happening on Yontif. Question is that true? Is that the machai? Maybe there's kavod and oneg on Yontif also. So this is a debate. I'm not going into it right now, but what it should depend upon, or what should emerge, is whether or not you have to have shal shudas. You have to have three meals on Sukkot, on Yontif. Generally, we don't. Okay, the Rambam is of the opinion you do need three meals on Yontif. But let's assume that on Shabbos you eat bread because of oneg. On Yontif you eat bread because of simcha. What? Simcha. But apparently, even though we say ein simcha el v'yayin, the Marshal says no simcha also. Otherwise, what's the mechayev to wash on Yontif? The Gemara says you have to eat on Yontif. Why? It is a machlok is whether or not the mun fell on Yontif, or there was a double portion the day before. Tosa says there are two. There's contradictory midrashim about that topic, but you could make the argument that on Purim the only thing you need to do is this. Others say no, they must have been misaking bread on Purim because it can't be less than Shabbos. Okay, the reason I'm bringing this up one more minute is for the following reason. Rabbi Akiva Eger is a famous chiddush. He said he was asked the following question. Everyone around the table was Yontif. We all forgot Yalvi Yalvi. What are we supposed to do? So he says, well, that's an easy question. The Gemara tells you you're supposed to repeat benching if you have that Yalvi Yalvi on Yontif. He says, that's only true for the men. He says, I think the women do not need to repeat their benching. Okay? It's not for now, but he says that the obligation to eat on Yontif is because of oneg. And he says, a woman is not chayv in oneg Yontif because it's the mitzvah say shas man groma. So our Gemara that says you have to eat on Yontif is only talking about the males. Females do not need to wash on Yontif, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, and therefore if they forget Yalvi Yalvi, they don't need to repeat the benching. That's the Chiddush, no one agrees to it. But there are tremendous ramifications if you say that women are not chayv in the mitzvah shas man groma of Yontif. They're chayv in the mitzvah shas man groma of Shabbos, zachar v'shamor v'dibur echad nemru, whoever's chayv in the malachas is also chayv in the mitzvah say. Question is, does that also count over to Yontif? Have a great Shabbos and a happy Purim. Okay.